Shalom Aleichem on behalf of Teach 613. We welcome you to Take 10 Fit Talmud. Hur Yis Daf Gimel, Hur Yis 3b, pagination is 6. We'll start on the second of the wider lines, Masnisin, the new Mishnah. Horu Bezdin, if the Bezdin ruled, V'yadu Sheta'u, and then they realized that it was a mistake, V'chazru Bahen, and they retracted. Bein sheviu kaparoson, whether they already brought their atonement, uvein shelohivi kaparoson, maybe they didn't bring their atonement yet, but they did retract. And of course, they recognized it was a tragedy, a terrible ruling, they made a mistake, they misled people. It was a mistake. But that ruling was out there for a period of time. V'holach v'osa al pihen. And some person acted on that ruling after they retracted. Rabbi Shimon Poter, Rabbi Shimon says he's still absolved, because to the best of his knowledge, the ruling still stood, and he was acting upon it. For Rabbi Elazar Omer Sofik, and Rabbi Elazar says he has to bring an Asham Talui, which is the kind of karban that's brought in a case of doubt. Now, usually, a case of doubt is that a person eats something, and because of the specific circumstances, he's not sure if he ate the kosher one or the non-kosher one type of situation. And that would be an asham talui. It's dependent if I did do wrong or I didn't do wrong. In this case, Rabbi Elazar is applying the concept of asham talui in a very different way. We know what the person did. The question is whether he's considered responsible for his actions, or can he blame it on the mistaken ruling of the Beis Din. And Rabbi Elazar says that's a case of Asham Talui, that he needs atonement, but it's doubtful if he needs the atonement. Not much different, Rabbi Elazar is positing, than a person who's not sure if he ate the kosher piece of meat or the non-kosher one. Ezehu safek, what is the doubt that we're accepting over here and imposing an asham talui? Yoshav lo besoch beso chayiv. We're obligating him if he was sitting in his house in a normal Jewish community and he should have heard of the retraction. And therefore, we place upon him an asham talui, because on some level, the onus might actually be on him as an individual, that he's still acting on an old ruling. Halach lo lemedinas hayom, but if he went to a faraway place, potter, he would indeed be potter, and the obligation of the Beis Din remains what we focus on, and the individual is absolved because they were relying on the Beis Din. Let's skip a line to the beginning of the following line. Horu Beis Din lakor es kol haguf. If the Beis Din issued a ruling that uproots the entire topic from the Torah. For example, Amru, they said, Ein Nida Batorah. The laws of Nida don't apply. In the Torah, it doesn't exist. In Shabbos b'Torah, there's no Shabbos in the Torah. In Avodas Kochavim b'Torah, the laws of idol worship don't exist in the Torah. Harei elu piturim. They are not going to be obligated to run the course of this atonement process because it's so outrageous. It doesn't meet the parameters of a mistaken ruling. It's an outrageous tragedy that you could have 71 elite sages and they come to a ruling that's totally off base to the point that it doesn't even exist in the Torah. That's not this atonement process. We have a similar concept regarding a Navi. If a Navi, a prophet, would say that the laws of Nida or Shabbos or idol worship don't apply, so then that's a Navi Sheker, that's way off. The case of a Navi that would actually be adjusting something And in the case of a Navi, he's actually allowed to adjust something in the name of Hashem as a Hora'as Sha'ah. That's the case where he says, certainly it is part of Torah, but it doesn't apply in this specific case. They're opposite type of conclusions. In the case of the Navi Sheker is going to qualify when he's so extreme that he says it doesn't exist. He's automatically a Navi Sheker. Right away, you can tell that. Over here also, right away, it's off base, but over here, it's so off base that it doesn't qualify for our topic of atonement. The Mishnah concludes, Horu levato miktsas ulekayim miktsas. If they ruled to nullify part of the mitzvah, but to accept part of the mitzvah, hare'elu chayovim. That's going to be the case of the atonement obligation. Ketzad. How does that play out? Omru, if they said, Yesh nida b'Torah, of course there's a law of nida in the Torah, avala ba'al shomeres yom kineged yom potter. But the case of nida, where she saw something for one day and she only has to wait one day before she goes to mikvah, which is a unique case to nida. We generally practice the laws of nida as zava, but we can save that for a future Masechta Mitz Hashem, an entire Masechta called Nida, where we can learn that. But in any case, they are deviating from one aspect of the laws of Nida. That would be an example, if they said, that's Pater, that's absolved, that would be an example that they're going to be obligated in this atonement process. Likewise, Yeshabbos b'Torah, v'lamotzim yushas hayachadu shasarabim pater. Shabbos is in the Torah, this Bezdin says. But a person who carries from the private area to the public area is pater. If they would make such a mistake, that would be chayiv, that would be a case where they would bring the atonement process, because they're agreeing to the basic principle of the mitzvah, so they're not so deviant that they're out of the discussion, but they're deviating mistakenly on a specific nuance, and that's where the atonement applies. Finally, Yesh avodas kochavim b'Torah, they agree that there's idol worship in the Torah as a prohibition. Aval mishtacha v'poter, but they say that bowing is not a violation. Hare'elu chayovim, these are going to be cases where they're going to be obligated in the atonement process, shene'emar, as the pasuk says, v'ne'elam dovor, a thing will be hidden from them. They're going to make a mistake in a thing, dovor, a thing, v'lo kol haguf, but not that the entire principle was being uprooted from the Torah. Yasher koach, thank you for joining.